Yeah, something that's really wondering about. I was given a scripture verse today. And I was figuring, what's this got to do with anything? And I'm sitting and praying and looking at it. Sitting and praying and looking at it some more. And the Lord led me to go up a little bit. Now, let me share with you this. Because it is kind of neat. I'm in Galatians chapter 6. And I'm sure you've heard this scripture before. It's been quoted many times. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've heard it, I preached it. And it was like my eyes were drawn to that, and then all of a sudden it said, go up a little bit. And I went up to verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Well, what does that mean? Let him who is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Well, communicate means to support, to supply. To give. If you're taught the word, then you're to support the one that teaches you. Amen? Ministers are supposed to be supported by their congregations, by those who they teach. Now, put that with the next verse. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When you communicate to those that teach, you're sowing. See, there's a law of sowing and reaping. There's a law to sowing and reaping. You go over to Malachi. Will a man rob God? Where you say, where have we robbed him? In thy tithes and offering. Therefore, you're cursed with a curse. And the curse he was talking about was way back there in Deuteronomy. And it goes, there's like 12 verses of blessings in Deuteronomy. You're blessed when you go in, you're blessed when you come out. But the curse is, you're cursed when you go in and you're cursed when you come out. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. So, this law of sowing and reaping works like this. Your tithes are what you owe God. Now, it's obvious God isn't going to come sit down here and take money out of your hand. So that's how he supports his ministers, through the tithes. The ministers are serving God. The tithes go to the ministers. A lot of these churches want you to put the tithes in the basket, and then the church takes it. They take a little bit out and give it to the pastor. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Churches aren't even put up the way they're supposed to be put up anyway. You go back under Moses and you'll see where there were 12 tribes. One tribe was God's ministers, and the other 11 tribes gave to those ministers. If churches were set up properly, these big mega churches, the tithes of the people, every 10 or 11, 12 people would have their own pastor. They would have their own minister. And those people would tithe to that minister. That minister then would tithe upward to the ones above him, and the ones above him, and the ones above him. That's the way it worked. The offerings would go to the church to maintain the buildings. And your alms would go to the poor. Now, let me show you how this works. I have a piece of land, and it's not being used. And Scott comes to me and says, I want to use your land, and I want to plant some crops on it, but I don't have any money or anything. Can you take care of it? And I said, yeah, I'll make you a deal. I'll go ahead and set you up, and you do it, and then you give me 10% of your crop when you're done. So Scott goes out, and he farms the land, and he plants it. He harvests, and he brings me 10%. I'm happy. Now Scott can use the land again. But if he cheats me, he ain't going to get that land. He's going to make me mad. Amen? All right, now, but now he's going to plant next season. So he takes seed out for the next planting. That's the offering. You see what I'm saying? But he's got a neighbor over here who didn't do so well, and he feels sorry for him. So he goes and takes some of the seed and gives to his neighbor. That's alms. Now, we know that when you plant a seed in the ground, it brings forth more than one seed. If it didn't, how could you survive? And the scripture shows us that the things that of the spirit are clearly made manifest by the things of the flesh, by the natural things we see. So therefore, you're not going to go out and plant in the ground if you don't expect to get an abundant harvest so that you can exist and survive. Amen? So you take care of the landowner. Those are your tithes. You hold back seed to plant. That's your offering. And your alms are what you give to those in need, and those alms are the ones that God really looks at. Remember Cornelius and his household? When God said, thine alms have come up before me as a memorial. Now, God wouldn't have said that if he hadn't first done the tithe and the offering. Now, what's that got to do with this over here? Let's go back and let me read it again, but I'm going to go a little further this time. See, we're going to build on this. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, I hope your eyes are starting to open up to see how this is coming together. I've been living by this for years. I've been living by this all my Christian life and didn't even realize it. See, I was taught that was about, you know, if you go do things in the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sit around and be holy and spiritual all the time, you're going to have everlasting life. That's the way it was taught me. There's not what it's saying there. When you take of your time and you take of your effort and you take of your finances and you sow them, where do you sow them? To the flesh or to the spirit? When it comes time for you to give your tithe and you sit there and you say, gee, I sure would like to buy this new dress or that suit or whatever, I'm just going to give part of my tithe. I knew a man one time that I met. He used to go to my church back in Oviedo years and years ago. He got mad at me and left. That's happened quite often. And anyway, I met him on the road. He was walking. I was dumb. I said, Jack, what are you doing, man? He said, well, I'm going home. I said, give you a ride? He said, yeah. So what happened to your car? He said, well, I broke. Well, how have you been doing? He said, been doing terrible. I said, well, got any reason, understanding as to why? No, I don't know why. Have you been going to church? No. And tithing? No. Let's go get a cup of coffee. Let's talk about this. So we went down the Waffle House, sat down to have a cup of coffee. I said, Jack, what's going on here? You know the truth. Why haven't you done it? Well, I wanted this, and I wanted that, and I wanted the other thing. I said, where's it got you? You're broke. You're walking. And you got no money. I said, how much money you got on you? He says, I got 20 cents. I said, give it to me. What? I said, give it to me. So he gave me the 20 cents. I said, I forgive you your debt. I forgive you your debt. Now the Lord's going to bless you. And we'll start fresh. He said, all right. Praise the Lord. Had our coffee, got up to leave. And would you know it? This is the truth. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I lie not. We're walking across the parking lot, and some wind blows this $100 bill across the parking lot right into Jack's hand. That's pretty good. Lord's trying to show you something. Of course, me and my natural self, why didn't you blow it in my hand, Lord? So anyway, I'm on my way taking Jack back home. And we come to a house. And the guy runs out of the house and he's waving his hands. And I stop the car. And he says, Jack, I want you to do my house. Paint my house. Now, Jack didn't want to do that house. He didn't want to do that house. Big old three-story wooden house. He quoted the guy three times as much as you should have to paint that house just so he wouldn't have to do it. The guy says, I want you to paint my house. I'll sign your contract. Jack said, all right. I took Jack home, and I said, now you know, here's your test. What are you going to do? Now, I mean, you had to give a guy credit. I mean, how many painters do you know go out and hire a cab to haul off stuff to the job site? He's going with the cab's got lighters strapped on top and, all this stuff. He does the house. He gets paid. And I'm waiting to hear from him. I didn't hear anything. Finally, Jack calls me one day and he says, I got a problem. I said, what's that? He said, well, I did that house and I had the tithe all set up to bring to you. But I saw a van that I wanted. You remember that van, Ann? And I went and bought the van instead of giving my tithe, and it blew up on me on the way home. I said, some people are just hard learners. Just hard learners. He said, you think God will forgive you? I said, sure, God will forgive you. I mean, he forgives stupid. What are you going to do about it? He said, I don't know, but I'll give you the van. What am I going to do with a van with a blown engine, right? But I take it. Next day, a guy comes up and says, what are you doing with that van? I said, nothing, it's a blown engine. He says, I'll fix it for you. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, how much? He said, I don't charge you nothing. So I said, praise the Lord. So he took it up to his place, and he pulled the engine out, completely rebuilt that whole engine, and there you go. Now, I don't know whatever happened to Jack, because Jack never contacted me again. Lord knows. But see, he should not have been deceived. God is not going to be mocked. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap to the flesh. And if you sow to the Spirit, of eternal life. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. His ministry is based on the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love of Christ one to another. It's based on that. And sowing to the Spirit is part of brotherly love. Whether it be in offerings or tithes or in alms. We have really been blessed out here. Scott was talking about how hard it's been. Yeah, it's been hard. Yeah, we were out of electricity for a while, but there are people up north that are still out of electricity. And it's colder there than it is here. Amen. Yeah, we go through trials, but those trials strengthen our faith. And I would like to think that everyone in this ministry would strengthen their faith praying in the Holy Ghost, praying with their understanding, serving and loving one another, and so to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Amen. Amen. I'm done.